Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk. News Talk's Executive Chair.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, John Kilcommon. He's the CEO of the JFC Group. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning, yep.
Now, you had a nice trip up from Tuam in County Galway, a place called Kilconnelly that many of our listeners will know. Tell us about your early years, John. You say your father was a cattle dealer. You worked for him for a long number of years, and he taught you about the markets, but it wasn't the stock market, is that right?
No, it was the livestock market, Bobby, unfortunately. Yeah, you know, the days were long and the pay was short. So, but it was a great experience. He was probably a great entrepreneur before me in the things that he was doing, and that, and what we were doing is buying and trading cattle and sheep.
Yeah.
Both to Dublin Meat Packers and to Slaney Meats. And
right.
Slaney Meats at the time was a very small little place. So we were buying sheep and cattle in the West and driving them there. I was on the truck some of the time.
It's that's the kind of grounding in terms of doing business, trading livestock. You know, I think where you learn a huge amount about cutting a deal, making sure you're good for your words, moving quickly when you have to. But I'd say the learnings there were infinite.
Yeah, I suppose the big learning would be that you cut a deal, you want to leave something for the other fellow as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he won't be back again to deal with you again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be it. It wasn't a simple space to be in, but yeah, we made a good living out of it at the time.
Right.
I liked it. I didn't like the truck driving bit. And for years I said, you know, there's more in me. I want to do something other than this. So,
yeah. And interesting as well, I know you left school at a relatively early age to work with your dad. You went back to college in your late 20s, early 30s.
Yes.
Tell me about the decision to do that. Or,
well, I suppose a brother of mine was successful, that's Jerry Kilcommon, and I wanted to emulate, copy what he was at. And he was the guy that went through a full education. And I knew when I started out in business that I needed to have something, I needed to know something about it. And, you know, I got into this thing. I did a few courses, night classes, the psychology of sales, marketing with Jim Ward, and some of them sort of courses and night classes. Then I sort of got into positive self-help books. And, you know, I'm still reading, educating myself today, and that's,
yeah,
40 years after the event.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And so clearly that's been, you know, that was a revelation to you in your early years that you needed to do this, and it's something that always stayed with you.
Well, when I should have gone to school, I didn't. And it was a late vocation to education, and St. Gerald's and Tuam was a great school, you know.
Yeah, well, speaking of the late vocation then, the business, tell me about the start of the business. You know, you were leaving your father from a very busy job, kind of going out on your own. What was your first product?
The first product was this infamous multi-bucket, which is a three-headed bucket that featured on the Late Late Show. And as I was saying, I was to get 2 minutes that night and I took 12. And it went down well. It was a bit of a gimmicky thing, but it was a great platform to start. And that was sort of put us on the map.
And just to stay with that for a second, because your sales tenacity came to the good there, because you didn't take no for an answer with Gayborn and you kept sending in the product until
right.
Eventually he said yes, or yeah, somebody said yes.
Anytime I was, you just don't walk in and get on the Late Late, and it's the same today. And, you know, I was in Dublin. Any time I'd be in Dublin, I'd have one of these buckets and I'd drop it in and put a note with it to give me a call on the new product. And eventually there's a reporter, Tom Gilmore. I got him to write a letter for me, and I sent it in to the... I found out there was a researcher between me and Gay. That researcher at the time was Bridget Wayne, and we addressed a beautiful letter to her, and we didn't hear nothing for a long time. And next thing one... That time, the Late Late was on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But on a Friday, I got the call that you could be on tomorrow night. I didn't even have a suit. So I had to get a friend of mine, Des Lynch, out, go get a suit on and hit up the road with my buckets and go on the Late Late.
In what year was that? Do you mind me asking,
87.
John? 87.
18th of December, 1987.
87, because it just shows as well, you know, the power of that audience at that time for you to appear there with your three-headed bucket. And again, from the next day, it was like you hit a light switch in sales, was it?
Yeah, you know, I milked it. I milked the situation. I got a picture with Gay. And sure, at the time, we didn't have a brochure and we were often nervous. And I had this picture. I said, and I could do up an editorial, send it to all the newspapers. And with a picture of Gay and me, you could get into any, you get column inches every place. So that was the plan, worked well. And we were often nervous then that him or our team might come after us for copyright. So we, rather than putting out a brochure, we sent out a newsletter and we put the picture on it, and like, it was magic.
That was the marketing man in you. Well, fair play to you. So out of that product then came this suite of products. And I know you're involved in agri, diamond blades for cutting asphalt, concrete, drill bits, all that. So tell me about how you go about, or you, how you went from that, the three-headed bucket, to what you do now.
It's a long story. It's a lifetime. I suppose the diamond blades would be in the last 10, 12 years. But originally, if you go back to the buckets, we manufacture a range of agri products. There was right. Water troughs, drink bowls, stuff like that, which is a big part of our market at the moment. And in fairness, agri and agriculture and farmers in Ireland were very, very good to JFC and to the company, to me. So we went on from that, then started to export that. We designed other products for linen trolleys for moving linen between hotels and cleaning rooms. And, you know, there's civils. We bought a company in the UK that manufactured pipe. Then we were the first ones really to perfect the art of manufacturing pipe from recycled materials.
Okay.
And that was something we did in Ireland. Then when we were doing that in England, we brought that technology to Ireland and we've been doing it ever since. So we've grown that from small beginnings to a sizable business.
So it is a sizable business, a JFC Group, operating in 12 sites across Europe, employing over 650 people.
That's right.
Tell me, are you agnostic about what type of product you do next, or does one feed off the, like, because the diversity of what you're in, which is probably a good thing, because I presume some of them are good and some of them are challenging, and if you have a portfolio, you always have one horse in the race.
Well, you all, you know, there's only one or two of them be winners, but the other ones might come in someplace. The simple thing about it is business is business, and when you take a set of accounts and you look at the lines across, the lines are the same no matter what you're selling.
Yeah.
You can take other entrepreneurs, Branson. He was into condoms one time, he was into coke, he was into transport, he was into music. Very diverse. So I'm not saying that I'd be anything like him, but our thing is a bit like that. So long as you have a good team, good management team that runs these businesses, and, you know, we have a discipline that we try and do from growing the business, from cost cutting, from saving, and looking after our people, and taking people to a new place that they haven't been taken before.
Yeah. You talk about some of your operations in Europe, John, and I was reading that you say about the creation of what are known as Euro orphans.
That's right.
Yeah, which I thought it's immensely sad at one level that people, to maybe explain the term
that,
to us.
That term came to me from our manager in Poland, which is Mike Majewski, and his wife was a psychologist in school. And go back 10 or 12 years ago, literally what happened, all the sort of the working age group had gone to Europe after the Euro. And they left a lot of kids behind them who were with the grandparents.
Yeah.
The grandparents didn't do as good a job or wasn't on top of them, and they went a bit wild, a lot of them. So after that, we'll say the parents went to Europe, maybe met up with some other one, maybe split up, and that's the term came from that. So
okay.
They call them Euro orphans. I think that has changed a bit now, because even in our factory in Poland, we're employing a lot of Ukrainians. So, and you know the way that's gone in the last few years. So in business, there's an awful lot of setbacks. You've had the Boris Johnson effect, you had the Putin effect, and no later than this week, we have the dynamic Trump effect.
Yeah.
Huge, huge impact on every business, on everyone, no matter what your background.
So if you take your business in Germany, which I believe has products that are exported to the United States. What do you as a businessman now have to consider if your product leaving Germany, going into the state, is now 20% dearer than it was last week?
Well, there's no question about it. You know, it's a blank page. We had a new tooth coming, and it's like everything else. You know, one time we were dealing with a soft landing and the crisis, but it did land. This thing has landed on us. We have to deal with it. I suppose over the years in business with experience, I've seen all these dips before, whether it's 9/11, whether it's the BSE crisis, foot and mouth. They made big impacts. This is something we deal with. The product coming out of Germany is tariffed now. I know we have one substantial order. I don't know, is it on the ship? I don't know, is it gone through customs? It'll be a big hit if it gets it. Like, the decision to do what was done by the States has upset the whole world. And I don't think there was an awful lot of thinking. And anyone that does what they did, like, you can't impact so many industries. And how come it wasn't analysed? Because it will affect themselves big time.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah. And I suppose our only hope is that the magnitude of that upset in the States, for that to be quite big so that there's a reaction against it and it's stopped or at least prevented.
I know one thing, I was talking to a guy yesterday who was in recycling, and we buy material from them, and the biggest contract for recycling was going on in the States, $300 million project, and all the machinery is coming from Europe. All the plant, they're not big into recycling, as you might know in the States. And this was €250,000 worth of equipment. And the whole thing was thrown in the bin yesterday. Now, this was a business that was going to be growing to the States because they couldn't take the impact of 20% on 300.
Yeah.
Or 250.
Mad.
So that's sort of thing is happening. And, you know, the small company, like even cars going to Germany, that I think that a lot of the top of the range cars will be still bought. The price won't stop them. But if you take car dealers in the States, or if you take Irish companies who have set up office there, who have done a distribution in the States, who have dealers in the States, and all of a sudden they're tasked with 20%, the jobs effect of that alone in the States is unbelievable.
Is there any chance that you might see people who have business in the States actually making an attempt to manufacture there? Now, maybe that's what Trump would want, but is that...
There's no doubt that's what he wants.
Do you see that could be a possibility?
It's a possibility, but that'll be 10 years down the road. A lot of the plants and the things that's been hit are manufacturing plants that came to Ireland many years ago. At the time, they came because we had this beautiful thing of a patent system where they could get tax relief on patents.
Yeah.
And that's all the big boys came here. That's why they came here originally. So now the shoe was on the other foot. If you take the big thing like an Intel or Microsoft or some of them, to move one of them out is possible, but it's that you won't get the brain power within them companies in Ireland are just not available any place because there's a shortage of people all over the world.
Yeah.
And especially skilled people in that type of business.
So what about the future for you, John? As I say, none of us are getting any younger. You're still rocking up every day. Business is still a huge part of your life. No signs of you retiring or anything like that?
I want to, and I suppose I need to slow down. That's the slow down effect. I think we could both say something about that. I'm putting plans in place. I have a good family that are really interested in all working in the business. I have an excellent management team. I have a good CFO. I have a good crew around me. And, you know, they make things happen.
Yeah.
And I back them, I support them, and I do the best I can. It's not a tough space. Would they like to see me going out the door? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of innovations, a lot of new products that come from JFC. And that's why we set the trends. We don't copy them. We're ahead of the posse. And that's what why we have grown the business. We have ambitious plans. We're doing about 125. The target is to get to 250 in 5 years.
These are millions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a big target. We've had a policy for years to 15% per annum. And, you know, some years you get it, some years you don't. You could do it by acquisition and do it awful quick, but that's not the way we go. We'd like to put a family of products similar to what we have already. We'd like to put them together.
Great.
I suppose the restrictions, we have spent a lot of money in Ireland. We've got a bit of support from Enterprise Ireland, which is good. And we have a lot of new product coming down the track. So that's going to have a good impact on the company. And but the hard work has to be done, you know.
That's
you
it.
Just got to do it. You got to get out and do it.
Well, listen, you're absolutely refreshing. Your attitude is just fantastic. And it's great to have people like you, John, who continue to make things and make things in Ireland and, you know, to come up with new products and always be thinking of new things. So well done you and well done to JFC Group. It's a great business.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Really now, appreciate that.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.